The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello all of you beautiful people out there. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show extravaganza. Dare I say it? Extravaganza. Wow, we have a terrific show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking to a bunch of folk. And Senator Bill Hagerty is going to be here. By the way, the big March for Life in Washington today as well. And we're also going to be checking in with the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Bob Good, about yesterday's continuing resolution debacle. And before we get started on the breaking news out of the U.S. Capitol members-only elevator, I want to talk about what happened yesterday on Capitol Hill with the continuing resolution. The Johnson-Schumer continuing resolution, spending levels are now exceeding those that Nancy Pelosi actually put into place. So this is the problem here is that Speaker Johnson, who I have no doubt is a good and decent human being. He is a Christian man. He knows his Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation and into the maps in the back. He knows it all. I am not doubting that at all. But a leader, this man is not. And I want to share something that happened yesterday. I find this to be quite humorous. One of the problems with Speaker Johnson is that he immediately shut out all of the conservatives in his life. And he immediately, his staff surrounded him with all of these woke folk, all of the folks who are running people like Nikki Haley's presidential campaign. And it's causing big trouble because Mike Johnson is not getting the guidance that he needs and that he should be getting. Now, when lawmakers line up wanting to come onto this radio program, they want to have a connection to this audience, and they know that I'm going to be asking the tough questions. So they know that we're going to be polite, but there's no gotcha stuff here, but we are going to ask the tough questions. And Speaker Johnson, over the years, back when he was just a regular congressman, was one of those people. His staff would reach out to Grace, and they would say, hey, can we get the congressman on to talk about this issue or that issue, or the congressman is introducing some legislation, or the congressman's really upset about this story in the news. Can he come on Todd's show and convey that? And we were always happy to accommodate. We're happy to accommodate. We even reach out to Democrats, but they're too chicken to come on this radio program. Bacock, chicken. I say chicken. Anyway, trying to stay focused here. So yesterday, Speaker Johnson shoved through this continuing resolution. There wasn't even a fight, ladies and gentlemen, not even a fight. And what the speaker did yesterday may earn him brownie points in Washington, D.C. He may get invited to the non-alcoholic cocktail parties in Georgetown, but he has lost the country and he has lost the base. And my question for people like Marjorie Taylor Greene was out there saying, if Mike Johnson goes through with his continuing resolution, I will call to vacate the chair. Okay, when are you going to do that, ma'am? When is that going to happen? But not only was it disappointing what Speaker Johnson did yesterday, along with 107 other Republicans joining all of the Democrats, not only was that disappointing, it was also dangerous because not a single thing was included to address the situation at the border. So now, and look, hear me on this. The Republicans, they could have ended up losing this fight anyway, right? But at least they would have gone down fighting. At least that's something we can cling to, that these men and women that we sent to Washington, D.C., actually have a little bit of what is the biological word? Cojones, ladies and gentlemen. At least we would have known that they had the man parts to stand up and the lady parts to stand up and do what is right, do what they promise the American people. Because keep in mind, it is not yours truly, Todd Starnes, affable radio host. It is not me who's out there saying that we've got terrorists coming across the border, and it's not a matter of if but when they blow us all to kingdom come. These are the Republicans who have been coming on this program day after day after day. They're the ones. So it's not like we're out there spewing hyperbole. We are just simply sharing what they are telling us, and you are hearing it with your own conservative ears. So it seems to me there should be some sort of urgency about the Republicans in the House of Representatives, that we are on the verge of catastrophe. We are on the verge of pain and suffering and death in this country, not a matter of if, but when. And it seems to me that the Republicans had an opportunity yesterday to convey that message to the American people. And when that event occurs, when the mushroom cloud is over an American city, the Republicans could at least stand up and say, we tried to tell you. We tried to warn you. We tried to do something about it. But the Democrats stopped us. They don't have that argument anymore. Because now when there's a mushroom cloud over an American city, when people are languishing in pain, when there is death and destruction, and they look to Washington, D.C., and they look to see who is responsible, they will be looking to the Republican Party and the House of Representatives, and they will be pointing a finger, a radioactive finger, at Mike Johnson and saying, you did this to us. So, I decided to address this yesterday on social media. And before I share with you what I wrote and the reaction it's gotten, and it's gone a little viral, I want to say this. So, day after day after day, we would get these messages from Mr. Johnson and his people. And we were more than happy to put Mike Johnson on this radio program. We did our very gut-level best to accommodate him. The day that he, and by the way, I have his cell phone number. The day that he was elected speaker, everything stopped. No more communication. No more responses to text messages. No more messages. So one of two things is happening here. Mike Johnson made a decision. We're not going to talk to the conservative media anymore. We're only going to talk to Fox News. And like I said, they're not going to talk to conservative media anymore. Mike Johnson either made that decision or his staff took away his cell phone, and his staff is cutting him off from the conservatives out there who could help this man. And this man needs help right now. He is literally governing blind. Whoever has his ear is the wrong person right now. And so this was in October, and Grace reaches out on a pretty regular basis. And they told us, circle back, circle back, circle back. All right, that was October, and now it's been radio silent. So October, November, December, midway through January, and nothing. Nothing at all. They have been literally, they won't even respond to Grace anymore. So I wrote this on social media last night on Twitter, and here's what I said. What Speaker Johnson did today was inexcusable and unforgivable. The first warning sign came just days after he was elected Speaker when his staff shut out conservative pundits and journalists. That's what I wrote. So guess what happened? Mere seconds after I wrote that, guess who all of a sudden reached out to Grace? That's right, the Speaker's office. And they were not very happy by what I wrote. So I told Grace to respond and not back down, that ultimately this is on Speaker Johnson and his staff. They're the ones that put themselves in this position. So they're very upset with us now. How dare you? Who do you think you are? This is a good and decent man. I mean, I'm telling you, they are very upset. This is a good and decent man. Who do you think you are? Well, you're not going to get any interviews now. Well, we haven't gotten any since October, so not much has changed there. But again, this isn't a matter of ego. This is a matter of, hey, we got a problem in this country, and we need to fix it. But this is also a case, yet another example, of a conservative, in name only, who got a powerful position and has allowed power to go to his head. Or the staff has allowed the power to go to his head. Either way, I don't know. I don't care anymore. So my question is very simple today. And by the way, there you need to apologize. Really? Do I really need to apologize for what I've said about the Speaker? Have I said something here that is inappropriate? Have I said something that would be offensive or out of line? I don't believe so. I believe in calling balls and strikes on this program. And ladies and gentlemen, we were willing to give the Speaker a little bit of leeway. I mean, it's a big job, huge job, no doubt about it. But we have a massive audience, and we have a very influential audience because of the listeners, the kinds of people that listen to this radio program. So we're not trying to destroy Mike Johnson. We're trying to help Mike Johnson. But you can't do that, Mr. Speaker, if you shut out the conservatives who got you where you are, sir. And I feel even more responsible because I was one of the guys out there saying, contrary to a lot of other folks like Steve Bannon and others who were out there warning people, this is not a good guy. And I was out there on this radio program saying Speaker Johnson, it was a great guy. And it turned out I was wrong. And on this program, I acknowledge when I made a mistake, and I clearly made a mistake here. And that's unfortunate. So here we go. The question is, what do we do now? Do the Republicans vacate the chair? Because hate to break it to you, folks, Speaker Johnson did exactly what Kevin McCarthy did that got him removed. So now what do you do? Do you let Speaker Johnson stay? If that's the case, then we're all just a bunch of hypocrites. Or do you say, we're going to suck it up. We're going to deal with this. If the Republicans lose the House, it's because of this. And by the way, if the Republicans do lose the House of Representatives in the fall, it is because of what Speaker Johnson did, colluding with the Democrats. This is also Open Line Friday. You say, what does that mean? And by the way, we have a wonderful new call screener here in our Memphis studios, Miss Lydia. And Miss Lydia is this is her very first time doing Open Line Friday. So here's the deal, folks. By the way, when you call in, say, hello, Lydia, welcome to the show. But also, it is Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we will talk about today. But my question as we start off, should Speaker Johnson be vacated? Should he be removed from his position of leadership? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to update you on my Calitrin journey. I'm still losing weight. I'm also sleeping a lot better, and I've got a lot more energy. Calitrin really is about more than just weight loss. Here's my good friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Yes, y'all. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. So with Calitrin, make the small change to your daily routine. It's once a day right at bedtime. It's going to help you rev up your metabolism so you can feel better, look better. You're going to be losing inches and losing pounds. And then, of course, it's great for the side benefits, too, like the sleep and the joint pain, the natural energy. So make that decision to do it for yourself today. Check out our website, toploft.com. We've got a big sale with $10 off every single bottle. It's at toploft.com, TOPLOSS.com, or call us 833-TOP-LOFT.
And be sure to use that discount code, Todd.
Nikki Haley is uniquely qualified to run for president.
I'm a woman.
And Nikki knows how to lead.
I'm a strong woman.
On the economy.
I'm a woman.
On foreign policy.
A woman.
On transgender health care.
I'm still a woman.
Nikki Haley deserves your support.
Donald Trump isn't a woman.
What? Thank you, Paul Shanklin, our public affairs director here on the Todd Starnes radio show. That pretty much sums up Nikki Haley's qualifications for the presidency. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on this Open Line Friday edition of the program. Let's start our day in Salem, Oregon. Kathy is hanging out with us on radio station KYKN. Hi, Kathy. What's going on?
I was just listening to what you were saying about Speaker Johnson, and you mentioned that Steve Bannon said this is not a good guy, and nobody believed him. I was just wondering if he gave any examples about why, because it sure seemed like he started out good.
Yes, it did, Kathy. And no, I don't watch a Steve show on a regular basis. But he was pretty adamant early on about Johnson, and maybe because I knew him and I knew him to be a devout Christian man, maybe that clouded my judgment here. But the reality is that sometimes you really need a hard-nosed person, you know, who can lead, who knows the power of the word no, and you know, is not one of these guys who is going to shrink, you know, at the side of controversy.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who got to him.
Well, you know, Kathy, remember the photograph of him walking side by side with Paul Ryan in the Capitol building?
Yes.
That was the warning sign.
Yeah.
Kathy, do you think, though? I mean, look, it's going to be chaotic, but do you think they have to remove Johnson now, or do they just suck it up and head into the election cycle?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade.
Well, it's not. You're an American citizen, Kathy. You're a voter. You can have a say in these kinds of things. But it is tough. And I mean, and you hate to say this, but politics is at play now. Because, you know, if you do go down that path, you could risk shutting down the government again for days or weeks trying to find, you know, Johnson's replacement for the next few months.
Exactly. Does he need to give a reason why he made those decisions? It seems like we get these decisions, but we never hear any reasons. We don't get any straight answers, even from Republicans. And I'm thinking, we need to get together. I mean, seriously, unity is what makes the Democrats so, they're invincible when, I mean, they're unified.
They are. And no, and the answer to your question is no, he doesn't. He should, but he's not required. I mean, there's not a rule that says you've got to go out and explain why you betrayed the Republican Party. But he ought to, because what Mike Johnson did was take the border issue off of the plate for Republicans. And it also kicks the can down the road. So now comes, and the argument is, well, we can't shut down the government. Okay, well, the Democrats know that the Republicans are always going to surrender if you throw that line at them. And that's exactly what's going to happen in March when they have to revisit this all over again, Kathy. So it's really unfortunate that Johnson did this, because it's going to give yet again more headlines, because the Republicans in Congress will betray the voters again in March. Write it down. Mark my words. That will happen. Kathy, I've got to run. Appreciate you calling in. Lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. Open line Friday, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, it is Open Line Friday here on the program. Let's go to North Carolina. Mike hanging out with us on the talk station. Hi, Mike, what's on your mind? Hello, Mike.
Hello?
All right, Mike, you're on the air. Turn your radio down.
Radio's off. This isn't Mike. This is Dave.
Okay, let's put this guy on hold, and let's get that figured out here, guys. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Bruce Lavelle. He is a senior advisor to President Trump. Of course, the New Hampshire primary coming up next week. Bruce, good to have you with us. And I have to tell you, the numbers are looking remarkable for President Trump in the Granite State.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I tell you, I hope it's not as cold as it was when I was in Iowa. So hopefully it'll be really decent weather. So my wife is actually from New Hampshire, so it's kind of cool.
So what are you guys seeing out there? Again, the polling data, Trump well over 50% in the polls we're looking at. How are things looking out there?
Yeah, it's looking good. And to our advantage, respectfully, President Trump had a magnificent term, and so the great folks of New Hampshire do remember that, just as well as many other folks from other states across the country. So that is an advantage. I think that the overall majority believes that President Trump deserves this second term based on a successful 4 years. So I think the other candidates are the new kids on the block, if you can say that, and so I believe and I know you'll see another record turnout as it relates to January 23rd, just like we saw in Iowa.
Are you concerned? Is the campaign concerned that these trials and we believe them to all be bogus sham trials? But are those right. having any sort of an impact? Are you guys having to answer questions about that? Is that on the minds of voters?
Well, I live my primary home here in Atlanta is Fulton County. And of course, I'm totally abreast on Fannie Willis here, the DA here, with her, the silliness that's going on down here. And I'm sure your listeners have saw the newest results of the conflicts of interest on her diverting money to her boyfriend, et cetera. And so, it's an inconvenience, it's an unfortunate inconvenience, but it doesn't alter or stop the mindset of the voters supporting President Trump. And, really, Todd, in all due respect, you know, you see Tim Scott's about to come out, Ted Cruz, who's a really good constitutional guy abreast to the laws of the land, and Marco Rubio, and many well-known. And I say this, you know, they're not going to come out here wholeheartedly and endorse President Trump if they ever felt in their heart or mind that any of these charges could stick. And that's just the reality of it. So, yes, it is an inconvenience. It's an unfortunate part because, you know, like President Trump said, especially on the immunity situation, you know, what's this to say in the future for other presidents? What's to say for if this pendulum, as Rudy said, on the courthouse steps here in Fulton County? He said, guys, if you allow this to go on, the pendulum always swings. And that's true because I started working for Reagan when I was 18 in high school, stuffing envelopes. And I've been through many, many election cycles, et cetera, dating myself. And yes, the pendulum does swing. And if you sit back and allow this to go on, you know, I say this on a lot of the major news stations. I actually said it on NBC last week. I said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Todd, I'm looking out the window and you're my neighbor. You're on vacation and I watch people go in and break in your house. And I sit right through the window and I don't pick up the phone and call the police and say, hey, they're robbing his house. And that's what I'm telling a lot of folks, whether you like President Trump or not, right is right, wrong or wrong. Do you really believe, for example, in Georgia, that it's okay to sit and watch this person who's from Inglewood, California, raised in D.C., come down here, get millions of dollars to fund to run for the DA's office, and then lobby and campaign on saying, I'm going to get Trump, just like Letitia James, get millions of dollars of 92% of her funding coming from outside of Fulton County? That should tell you something right there, not to mention Alvin Bragg and Letitia James. So you scratch your head and you wonder, like, what is going on? You know, is this like it's a collaborative effort? And of course, they like to give George Soros all the credit. But I'll tell you, there are many more like him that have mobilized in certain cities, of urban cities, especially in city council seats, solicitor seats, you know, district attorney seats, state court, superior court, probate judges, school board seats. And they're doing this across the country. So this is a all hands on deck. And thank God, the greatest communicator probably in the nation's history, President Trump, who isn't beholden to special interests. There's that key word, special interests, and not being beholden to lobbying, special lobbying, et cetera, is really wanting to do this for the people. And it's like you said, listen, if they do this to me, what would they do to you? So we got to get ahead of this. So yes, to answer your question, it's little bumpy, but it's not going to stop President Trump being the nominee and gaining the White House.
Well, no. And look, I think it was Carrie Lake who said President Trump could be in Leavenworth and people would still vote for him because they know it's all bogus. And I appreciate you pointing out, again, how these people came to power. We're talking about Alvin Bragg, Letitia James, Big Fannie Willis, as we call her, in Fulton County, Georgia. And when you throw in the fact that Letitia James and Fannie Willis have had communications, had meetings in the White House with the vice president, it does lead you to wonder exactly how much collusion was going on here. And again, all of this is an example of the weaponized federal government that President Trump has promised to eradicate.
Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate because this isn't the first time our government, per se, has weaponized a judicial system to come against a movement or a group of people that they just didn't like, that wasn't part of, quote, the establishment style. I mean, come on, you know, real talk. I'm in Atlanta here. My uncle, who Dr. Nolan Lavelle marched with, A.D. King, which was Alveda's dad, which was Martin's brother. So you want to talk about the civil rights background as it relates to what forms of the judicial system was weaponized against the movement of guys who were going out there protesting, just wanting to get to the polls, let alone not sit at the back of the bus. So, you know, we can go deep. I actually said that on NPR and their heads exploded when I ran a contrast to that. And I said, whether you like that or not, that the certain parts of the government was weaponized against the movement of a guy that went up to Memphis to defend garbage workers that got shot at the Lorraine Motel. So, you know, it's not new. It's just that we've never had a leader in like President Trump that literally will talk back at the press, will talk back at a system and say, no, we're not doing that. Instead of being intimidated by mainstream media, like historically other presidents were, yes, outside of Ronald Reagan. And so, you know, this is refreshing. So the 80-plus million voters, Todd, that voted for President Trump in 2020. And listen, I have told a lot of my folks, I've told the DeSantis people, I know Ron, I pleaded with him. I said, bro, you're a young guy, you know, take your time. We got you over the finish line with Andrew Gilliam. You know, you and Casey buckle down, be the best second-term governor in the history of Florida. 2028's wide open. Join our train. You know, we're still a team. You know, it fell on deaf ears. The same thing with Nikki Haley in South Carolina. I remember she was first running up there because I'm in the neighboring state of Georgia, and everybody was all excited and stuff. And, you know, this Nikki Haley, blah, 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 blah. And of course, the flag situation, other situations that she was dealing with. And same thing. And I said, you know, you went on national TV and said, if President Trump runs again, quote, I will not run. And so, you know, it's kind of like, guys, calm down, you know. And Todd, in all due respect, and all the listeners, whether you agree with President Trump or not, I've known him since 1990. I actually met him in Atlanta 34 years ago, is the fact that if we were in a normal election cycle, let's just say, if you want to use the word normal, in 2020, we had, you know, the country was shut down. They said, oh, just stay home. We'll mail your ballots. Now, I grew up with a command sergeant major that retired the military, where I was taught that absentee ballots were for the military incapacitated people, and where we dressed up. My mother made us dress up on election day and go with her, whether we could vote or not as kids. That's how serious it was. And so we shut down the country. We had all this chaos going on, and he got more votes this time around. I said, wait a minute, something's not right here. And all due respect for all the other folks that were out there, they know that. So, you know, if it was normal election, whatever, and we lost, we would accept that. And, you know, I've always said this about President Trump. I know him very well. He knows what a loss looks like, and he knows what a win looks like. And a lot of us do. And this was a lot of situations going on that weren't, if you want to use the word, normal.
Right. Right.
So in all due respect, he is the incumbent. This should be his second term. And a lot of guys reconciled, and a lot of guys went out there and pretended, Todd, that, you know, it's bad that they're Letitia James and they're doing this. But deep down, they were hoping that one of these things would stick. And that's why they put their name on that ballot. Instead of reconciling and say, hey, we're with you. We know what happened. And as like I said, as Rudy said on those courthouse steps, Rudy Giuliani, a good friend of mine I've known for many years, who fought the mob in New York. Come on, people forget about that. You know, I was like, what are you going to do to Rudy? He fought the mob. The pendulum could swing, and this could swing back to you. And standing there silent and not standing up, whether you're Democrat, Independent, or Republican, and to all the listeners, remember, this could be you, your neighbor, your friend, your husband, your brother, your cousin. And that's where we're at with this, Todd.
Bruce, got to jump in, and we are super late for a break, but I appreciate you coming on and giving us a roundup of what's happening there in New Hampshire. And we wish you guys good luck next week. I think it's going to be a great day for the president. Thank you again.
Yeah, God bless. Thanks, Todd.
All right, take care. Bruce Lavelle, everybody, a senior advisor to President Trump, going back to the first time he ran for the White House back in 2016. And, of course, we're going to be providing you with great insight into what's happening on the primary coming up. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Daily Mail coming out with an exclusive report, and Nikki Haley has to be very careful here, because if she does not ferociously defend Donald Trump against what the media is trying to do to him, they will come after her, and they already have. We will tell you about the Daily Mail's reporting about Nikki Haley and a scandal coming up next. All right, let's get back to the phones here. 901-260-5926, open line Friday. Let's go to Orange County, California. Stephen on the line. Hi, Stephen. What's on your mind?
Mr. Starnes, how are you, sir? It's an honor to speak with you.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Long-time listener, first-time caller, as they say. That's the truth.
Well, we're excited to have you on. What's going on? What's on your mind, Stephen?
Well, hey, the other day I called in because you all were taking a little mini poll about the VP. And if I may just chime in on that one real quick, because you ran out of time, so I didn't get a, you know, hop on the line with you.
Sure.
My wish is that President Trump picks Ben Carson.
Oh, why do you like Ben Carson?
I'm a Christ follower of Jesus Christ myself, and I know that he is a Christ follower, and that's real important to me and a lot of folks that I associate with.
Well, Dr. Carson is a brilliant man, and I thought he gave a terrific response. You know, there had been a lot of talk about racism, and I forget what specific issue, but Dr. Carson responded by saying, you know, whenever I did brain surgery and I was working on that brain, it's interesting that brains are all the same color.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Someone might want to tell Coach Mayo that, right? Maybe some Carson will rub off on him.
Oh yes, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, Coach Mayo. There, yes.
Yes, I already miss Coach Belichick, the genius.
Well, there you go. Well, Stephen,
I speak for my football teams. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. Stephen, I appreciate
Coach Saban and Coach Belichick.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening to the program. And we do like Ben Carson; he's a good guy. By the way, can we talk about this Coach Mayonnaise out of the New England Patriots? He's the first black head football coach there with the Patriots, and he's out there saying that he's going to be all about. He sees color, so everything's going to be about race with this guy. And he even said that we also need to be addressing diverse or those with disabilities. And just a couple of thoughts here on that. So, first of all, if you are a white football player and you play for the New England Patriots, you probably need to find another team, because I don't think you're going to be allowed to play. And if you are there, you're probably going to be on the bench. The good news is, if you are blind, then you might be able to try out for the quarterback position with the Patriots. And I say that because he's going to be hiring folks with disabilities. And if he doesn't, if Coach Mayonnaise does not hire people with disabilities, well, then he could be accused of being an ableist. And nobody wants to be accused of that. So anyway, expect to see, I don't know, a couple of linemen with or without limbs, and also a blind quarterback. And I think you're going to have one heck of a team there. I can promise you this. I don't know if they're going to win any games, but it will be the most memorable New England Patriots team in the history of the NFL. There you go. All right. Coming up, we're going to jump into this controversy with Congresswoman Barbara Lee out of California. And we're going to play some audio when we get back from the break here. She is now alleging that she was accosted by a white guy in the U.S. Capitol. She says that she was trying to board the members-only elevator in the Capitol, and the white man stopped her and demanded to know who she thought she was. When she explained that she was a member of Congress and she pointed to her lapel where her congressional pin was, he apparently asked her who she stole that from. Now, we're going to play this audio in the next hour, and I'm just going to ask a very simple question. Do you believe this woman? Because I don't believe the woman. I think she's lying. I think there's a better chance that white guy was just coming back from Subway and was munching on a tuna fish sandwich, and he was flanked by two Nigerian bodybuilders. I think that it's more believable that she actually got on board the elevator, and there was a noose hanging from the elevator, and that the elevator insides were all besmirched with racist graffiti. I think there's a better chance of all of that happening than Barbara Lee being accosted by a white guy. So here's the thing. Video or it didn't happen. They've got video cameras all over the U.S. Capitol building. So I want to see the video evidence of this woman being accosted by a white guy on Capitol Hill. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We're going to be going to your calls as well, 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Senator Bill Hagerty. Also, we're going to be checking in live at the March for Life today. We've got about 1,000 Liberty University students down there representing this radio program. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hour two of The Big Show underway. Great to have all of you fine folks with us today. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Right now, in the nation's capital, the March for Life underway. Among those in attendance today is Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh. So that's a good thing. Also, Speaker Mike Johnson, fresh off of his betrayal of Republican voters and conservatives and anybody who cares about the border, Speaker Mike Johnson is actually at the March for Life today, speaking to the assembled crowd as well. All bundled up. It's a snowy day in Washington. Let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Ryan Helfenbein joins us. He is the executive director of the Standing for Freedom Center. Also a VP of Communications at Liberty. Ryan, I understand you guys have about 1,000 Liberty University students with you today.
Todd, that's absolutely right. As the snow is falling right now as we speak, we have 1,000 students that are here, 20 buses that came out this morning. We left at 5 a.m. To make the trip, of about a four-hour trip up to D.C. And I am so excited that this generation, and I will say the largest group that we've had to come out to the March for Life. We, of course, marched at Dobbs, where we had 1,000 students. But this is the largest group we've had in January. And, you know, in the midst of the weather that we're having, the adversity of the weather, they're here. They're so excited. They're loud and proud.
This is pretty exciting. And looking at video there from the campus in Lynchburg, you just have row after row after row of buses filled with students. I'm curious, Ryan, what is the messaging here? You've got all these young people, Gen Zers out there in the cold, standing up for the unborn. What does that tell you about the state of the pro-life movement in America?
Well, I am thrilled, and I am an optimist. When it comes to the future is bright. When you look at these young kids and you look at the gleaming eyes, they are full of joy. And I think that they're more resilient than maybe even in previous generations, because they know the opposition, the things that they're up against. I will tell you, I am proud to say that when it came to advertising this event on campus, we sent out one email, Todd, one email, and we had an overwhelming response from our students that they wanted to come.
Wow.
And in years past, we didn't always have enough buses, enough transportation. But this year, we made it possible. And I'll say, fearless leader, Dr. Don DeCosta, our new president, he was out there to rally the troops this morning as the students were being sent off. He came up on the buses, spoke to them, gave them a heartwarming speech, and it was just really thrilling to see that.
Well, and it's exciting to see a university with the influence that Liberty has making this a priority and providing those buses and helping the students take a stand that I think the entire nation is going to be seeing today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it reinforces that this is not a Catholic issue. It's not an evangelical issue, right? It's an issue that involves all of us. We want to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to say to the watching world, hey, we are the pro-life generation. And by the way, God made us in his image. Male and female, Todd, he created them. And that's something else that's kind of something that we're a little bit more aware of even this year as other political issues kind of come to the forefront, cultural frontline issues. There are only two genders, and these students know that.
And that's reassuring, Ryan, because trust me, we cover that particular issue a lot on this program, and there are a lot of universities where saying what you just said could get a staff person fired, could get a student in trouble, but at Liberty University, you embrace the fact that God created male and female.
That's right. That's right. And so I would just encourage anybody listening, grandparent, parent, check out Liberty University at liberty.edu. Absolutely, if you have questions, we have over 700 degree programs, over 15 schools, and that's something that you can do both online and resident.
And we've had a proud partnership going back, almost a decade now with Liberty University and this program. And we have always, our interns have been incredible student workers. There's just something about a Liberty University student that really sets them apart from students, from kids at other schools.
Yes, I think without question. In fact, that is often the comment that I get from employers, from different organizations, whether it be Fortune 500 companies or nonprofits. And by the way, I'll just say, Todd, we have Alan Morrow on our team, and he is a huge leader, but he's somebody that we borrowed back from you, and he worked over with you guys, and we're certainly thrilled to have him.
Yeah, you had to bring that up. Rubbing salt in the wounds. Way to go, Health and Bind.
That's right.
Wow.
No. But we'll have more. We have more students every year, as you know.
Yeah, and no, Alan's a great guy, and we were thrilled that he was a part of what we were doing, and now what you guys are doing there at the Standing for Freedom Center. Ryan, I know it's super cold there, and you guys still have a lot of marching to do, so we're going to let you get back to that. And please tell the students there at Liberty that they've got a whole nation that's incredibly proud of them.
Certainly will do, Todd. Thank you, as always.
All right, Ryan Helfenbein, everybody, from Liberty University. How about that? 1,000 Liberty University students in the frigid cold, and it is snowing in Washington right now. A lot of people can't even get out of their homes, but these kids are marching in the snow for the unborn. What does that tell you about the incredible young people they have over there at Liberty University? All right, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, I do want to get to the phones. Fletcher from Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, has been holding on for a while and wanted to weigh in on government spending. Fletcher, appreciate you holding on. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm looking for solutions, Todd. I'm a conservative, vote Republican, and a longtime listener. And I haven't heard any solutions out of the Republicans. They talk about how bad the deficit is. You talk about how bad the deficit is, but nobody presents a solution, and there are solutions.
Well, what's your solution, Fletcher?
Well, my solution to get things kicked off with would be to have the law changed so that we cannot elect anybody that spends more money than they take in, and give the president power to line item veto. It approaches the power that the government has, and these guys run for power. That's what gets them in the thing, and they spend money to keep the power that they have. If they couldn't run again, if they spent more money than they took in, they would either have to raise taxes, which is the Republican position on that. We've got to have taxes to do things, but we won't cover what we are paying out.
I mean, Fletcher, it's a great idea you have. I just think that there's something a whole, and I do like the line item veto, by the way. But the very practical thing is, when you have legislation that comes to you and there's a spending bill for, I don't know, a couple of million dollars to get monkeys high on meth, you know what? How about voting no unless they take that nonsense out of there? I mean, that's a very simple thing, and it will not even cost us a single penny to do. But unfortunately, Fletcher, the Republicans on Capitol Hill won't even do that.
That's true. And until we start, I mean, you may have some other listeners that have better ideas than I do. But, and you're right, they vote. They don't vote to spend less because that's where they get their power, Republicans and Democrats. And guys like you that have power for listeners need to start coming up with a solution to this problem, because you know what the problem is, but you never suggest it.
Well, Fletcher, I do that every day on the program. I mean, look, this is it's a very simple solution. And trust me on this, Fletcher, if they implemented what you just said, they would find a way around it. They just would. That's how these lawmakers are. They're snakes. But the reality is, we sent them to Washington with a mandate. You will either balance the budget and stop this nonsensical spending, or else we're booting you out. So I think the voters have a responsibility to hold these people accountable. When they come back and they do the town hall meetings, go to the town hall meeting and ask your congressman so-and-so, why are you spending $2 million to get monkeys high on methamphetamine? Why are you doing that? Why are you turning the ape community into meth heads, congressman? I mean, it really is that simple. Fletcher, got to run, but it's a great idea and a thought. Let's go with the line item veto. But we do our best. When we bring lawmakers onto this program, we call them out and we ask, why did you vote for this? And the reality is, a lot of these people just don't like you. They tolerate you because they need your vote. Oh, this bit of breaking news just in. I love this story. Sports Illustrated has laid off their entire staff. This news coming in from the New York Post. The Arena Group alerted all Sports Illustrated staffers on Friday their positions were being eliminated. Richard Deitch, a sports media reporter who left for Sports Illustrated for The Atlantic, posted the email that all employees received on X. It noted that some employees would be terminated immediately. The decision comes after Authentic Brands Group, the licensing group that bought Sports Illustrated, terminated the agreement it holds with the Arena Group to publish the magazine in print and digital. Wow. Here's the letter. I'm going to read this to you. So Sports Illustrated, the entire staff got the heave-ho. All impacted employees will get severance pay and will be entitled to any applicable notice period outlined in the union agreement. Well, first of all, there's problem number one. It's a union shop. Some employees will be terminated immediately and paid in lieu of the applicable notice period. Employees with a last working day of today will be contacted by the team soon. Other employees will be expected to work through the end of the notice period. We appreciated the work and efforts of everyone who has contributed to the Sports Illustrated brand and business. I remember as a kid how excited I was to get Sports Illustrated in the mail. And it was, at one time, a great sports magazine. Matter of fact, you folks out there might remember Louis Grizzard and his half-brother, Ludlow Porch, who had a great radio program in Georgia and some of the southern states called the Fun Seekers Network. And Ludlow came to fame because Sports Illustrated did a story on trivia guys, and Ludlow Porch was one of the great trivia people of America. By the way, that is why some of our best trivia people come to us from WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, because of Luddy. So anyway, here's the problem, and this is what happened with Sports Illustrated very quickly here. First of all, it's a union shop, so they were paying out the wazoo for staffing. But number two, and this was perhaps the most egregious thing, they are as woke as the day is long. And the average sports fans are saying, you know what, we've had it. Enough of this. So anyway, Sports Illustrated, going belly up. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Open line Fridays. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. So I want to get to this Barbara Lee story. You know what? Before we get to the Barbara Lee story, I've got to talk about this Daily Mail piece. And again, this goes back to Nikki Haley and all you other Republicans out there. You think they're just doing all of this to Donald Trump, but they're not. This is the headline from the Daily Mail today. Nikki Haley did cheat on her husband, Michael, and had affairs with her communications consultant and a married South Carolina lobbyist before she became governor. This is according to sworn affidavits and new claims by eyewitnesses. Now, Nikki Haley has denied cheating on her husband, but she is now accused of engaging in two extramarital affairs during her gubernatorial campaign. Will Folks, age 49, and Larry Marchant, age 61, both signed affidavits in 2010 alleging they had a sexual relationship with the then South Carolina governor, the lawmaker, before she went on to become governor. When the contents of the affidavits were described by major news outlets at the time, this is the first time they have been published outside of Folks' own document, which he published on his blog. Haley denied both at the time, saying she was 100% faithful to the father of her two children and her husband of 28 years. Haley now cites him as a reason for her presidential candidacy. So there you have it. This is, again, from the reporting of the Daily Mail. Multiple Republican insiders tell the Daily Mail that Haley and that they were intimately aware of Haley's infidelity, including tales of steamy liaisons in the back of her Cadillac SUV. Ooh. Nikki Haley has also been accused of, quote, canoodling in her lover's laps at bars and nights spent together in a Columbia, South Carolina duplex. It's always the duplex, right? There's always some freaky stuff going on down at the duplex. Haley has not responded to the Daily Mail's request for comment as of the time of publication. And you know why this is fair game, ladies and gentlemen? Because this is what they've been doing to Donald John Trump all along. There is one difference, though. Trump didn't do anything. And every time they accuse Trump of doing something, it turns out it was a fabrication. And maybe this is a fabrication. But the Daily Mail felt strong enough about it. They've got the goods. They've got the evidence. They have these sworn signed affidavits. So we'll see how this if this has any legs to it. See if there's any canoodling going on. All right. Barbara Lee, black representative from California, made a stunning accusation on CNN. Now, cut number 10.
Racism, institutional racism, is in the DNA of this country. When you look at what has taken place, look at our Native Americans, the genocide of Native Americans. When you look at what has taken place as it relates to African Americans, the 250 years plus of enslaving African Americans, and then you look at the disparities now in our community in terms of health care, unemployment, the wealth gap, housing. You can't tell me that systemic racism does not exist. It's not just a little kink. Secondly, you have personal racism, which is hard to address, but I'll give you one little story that shows you why we need to understand that I don't think she really understands racism. I was walking from the House building on Capitol Hill to the Capitol, and a man, a white guy, stopped me and told me I could not get into the members' elevator. And you know,
all right, so we're going to play some more of this coming back, but do you believe this? Do you really believe that this story happened? 901-260-5926 is our number. We'll be right back. All right, someone writing, Sports Illustrated put a man in a one-piece on the cover of its swimsuit edition, and the staff now feigned surprise that they're all being laid off. Go woke, go broke. Well, it's a fair observation. Fair observation. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us on this open line Friday. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend and my senator, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee. Hope you're doing well today.
Well, Todd, I'm weathering our winter storm here in Tennessee right now. I was able to get back from Washington last night, just barely. But we've had some pretty amazing weather, as you know, in Memphis, certainly in Middle Tennessee as well. I'm actually right now just looking out the window watching snow removal take place. So it's not typical for us in this part of the country to see this much snow and ice, but we're navigating through it.
We are not built for this in Memphis, Senator. I didn't sign up for this when I moved back home, so it's just brutal. So, but hopefully...
Well, I was talking with Mayor Young just yesterday there in Memphis, and I tell you, the unsung heroes in all of this are the folks that work for, you know, Memphis Power, Light, and Water, the folks that handle our utilities. We don't think about them during most of the year, but when something like this happens, they step up, they step to the fore, they keep electricity going, they keep our houses warm and water flowing, and it's absolutely critical. So hats off to them around the nation.
And I will say this, as the owner of the only locally owned radio station, news talk station in Memphis, KWAM, that was the only station where the entire staff showed up to tell people about the storms and the roads. And we certainly want to salute our great team there, Ben Dieter. And we hear you a lot on that morning show there in Memphis as well.
Thank
so
you,
we yeah, love all those good folks. All right, Senator, let's talk about, first of all, the continuing resolution. A lot of very upset people about this, mainly because the border situation is still not being dealt with. And it looks like we're just kicking the can down the road again.
That is what we're doing. We're kicking the can down for a few more weeks. But what my hope is that we'll be able to actually get through the appropriations process. I serve on the Appropriations Committee. We've had our work done since July of last year. And to be clear, the appropriators don't set the overall amount of spending. But what the appropriator's job is to do is to cut that up in as efficient a manner as possible to try to vet some of these proposals that are authorized, and you hear about things being authorized but not appropriated. Some of these things are impossible to do. They're contradictory to existing law and regulation, et cetera. That's the process that we need to go through. But Chuck Schumer would much rather put that off and try to create an emergency, just like he did this week, so that he can get people, try to force people to the table on issues like the border, like Ukraine, like Israel funding, et cetera. They attempted that at the White House earlier this week. I think we all put our foot down and said, we're not going to go for some, you know, overnight backdoor, you know, underground plan that you come up with. It's got to be vetted. It's got to be properly moved through the process. So we're coming back with yet another try, I hope, to get to the appropriations process. But this is going to have to come to an end. There's no way I'm going to stand for another one of these big omnibus packages and trying to slam everything together at the last minute. We'll see if this little reprieve here gives us enough time to get some sanity into the system. If not, you know, I'm not sure where we head after this.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And again, it's my only concern are the number of folks in the House that have been coming on my program saying it's not a matter of if, but when we have some sort of a terrorist attack because of what's been coming across that border. So it seems to me there should be a sense of urgency based on, you know, all the reports of horror stories that we're hearing.
Todd, you're exactly right, and I appreciate your being focused on the national security aspects of this. Just since the Hamas attack on Israel on October the 7th, we have seen over 150 different nationalities apprehended at our southern border. We don't know who's in our country, and we had FBI Director Christopher Wray testify before the Senate just the other day that he has seen more, I don't know how he phrased it, but red lights, you know, national security alerts on his screen than he's ever seen before. He said, it sounds to me like it's lighting up like a Christmas tree, not just in America, but all over the world with the unrest that this is precipitating. And again, they've just completely collapsed our southern border. We have so far, they're estimating 8 million people that have come in under Joe Biden's watch. You know they haven't been properly vetted. So many of them have come in off the terrorist watch list that we know of. And if you think about the ones that we don't know about, which are the, quote, high quality people that the cartels move across, they flood the zone with women and children and people that aren't, quote, of concern. And then that opens the gate for them to push their fentanyl and their, quote, high-quality invaders through other points that they can manage more carefully. So I really deeply worry about who is in here, what they may be planning. And it's just, I think your other callers are absolutely right to be focused on it as you are. This is a huge national security issue for America.
Senator, one of the things that has been a subject of conversation around water coolers, around radio talk shows, what exactly is the point of all of these people coming into the country? Why are the Democrats so anxious to get them here? And why are they sending them to, you know, parts unknown in the country? And a lot of folks may not realize this, but one theory is that this could be all about the Electoral College and the census, because those numbers actually determine the allocation of votes in the Electoral College. And that is a huge concern of mine. I know you have introduced a bill that actually puts the citizenship question on the census.
That's correct. That's correct. And you are exactly right, Todd. Very few people understand this. I think most every American would think, well, in order to allocate a congressional seat, that should be the population of citizens that would be based upon, not based on the population of people that are in a given state. But it's the latter. It's just based on the number of people that are in a state. If you look at a state like California, they've got several more legislators today in the Congress because of their ability to count illegal immigrants in their populace. If you were to take it, it's a very perverse incentive. But if you think about what's happening in America, citizens are moving. They're voting with their feet. They're moving out of states like California, Illinois, New York. They're leaving those states and they're coming to states like Tennessee. They're getting out of there. What do these states do then? Well, you heard the quiet part out loud just a couple of weeks ago with Representative Clark. She's a member of Congress from Brooklyn. She actually came out and said it. She needs these people, these illegal immigrants, for the purposes of redistricting. That's exactly what she says, because she wants to hold on to her district. That's why they create sanctuary cities in, guess where? New York, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco. They're trying to backfill the departure of legal citizens from their states with these illegal immigrants. This is about holding on to power. And what this does is it distorts the Electoral College. It gives people, you think about if Los Angeles, for example, were 50% illegal immigrants and 50% citizens, each citizen would basically have twice the vote, if that makes sense, or twice the voice that they deserve as a citizen, because that illegal immigrant's getting counted as well in terms of allocating them a congressional seat. This is well beyond anything the founding fathers ever anticipated. No one would have dreamed that Joe Biden's transformation of America would yield this sort of result. But that's exactly what's happening. I think it's all very well understood by the Democrats. And as I said, Representative Clark even said it aloud a couple of weeks ago. They need this for the redistricting. That's why my legislation is so important, to fix the census process so we have the information and that we only count citizens for the purpose of allocating congressional seats. And then that derivative is then how many electoral votes each state gets. That's what we've got to fix. I can't believe that it's gotten to this stage and the Democrats are taking full advantage of it.
And looking at projections, there's a group called the Census Project. They're saying California, if trends continue, could lose 5 congressional seats in 2030. To your point, folks moving to other states, and that would mean, for example, I know Tennessee has become a hot spot of these refugees from the blue states. You know, we could end up gaining a congressional seat as a result of that. So to your point, that's why this is so vitally important. And Senator, how does this practically work? You put the citizenship question on the census. What would we do with that information?
Well, that would enable us to know which congressional districts. We can tie those census forms back to congressional districts, so we can go back and adjust the populations correctly for citizens as opposed to just people. And again, the Census Bureau has come up with some very aggressive measures to, quote, estimate the number of homeless and illegal people that live in given areas. Again, it's all tweaked in a way that inflates those numbers in my humble estimation. But we've got to get to the bottom of this, because they're using every tool they can. If you go back to the commission that was put together, run by former President Jimmy Carter, former Secretary of State James Baker, looking at election integrity in America back in the 90s, they identified several things that were very vulnerable for election integrity. These are basically at the root of the Democrats' so-called H.R. 1 package from the last Congress, where they wanted to completely change all the rules, go to ballot harvesting, go to drop boxes, go to universal mail-out balloting, all the things that former President Carter and James Baker said were fraught with potential for fraud. That's exactly what they want to put in place. Again, this is just another area where they're trying to manipulate the system and the process to their advantage. They can't win on the policies. So that's what they're trying to do is focus on the process.
All right. Well, Senator, we're going to leave it there and appreciate that. It's a great idea, and I think this has to be done. It's a pretty common sense approach to it. By the way, I saw the governor, Bill Lee, on video doing the sledding. We're getting too old to do this, Senator. I'm really concerned. I got a text message yesterday from my orthopedic surgeon saying, hey, we're open today. And I'm like, what is that supposed to mean?
It's good for business.
clearly.
Well, stay safe, Todd.
All right, you
stay
too, safe. Senator. All right, take care. Senator Bill Hagerty, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. I said Electoral College. That is not what I meant, but I meant the elections in general, and appreciate the senator correcting me there. This is a huge deal, and this is something that I think will go a long way into helping us understand how many illegals are actually here in the country. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Have I told you today about Newsmax Plus? It is so great. Was watching again last night. Newsmax Plus, you're going to get all of the great shows. Greg Kelly and Greta, Eric Bolling. By the way, Glenn Beck was on Eric's show last night. Rob Schmidt. Even actor John Voight has a great series on Israel that you got to watch, but you can only watch it on Newsmax Plus. More than 180,000 people have already signed up, including yours truly. And, of course, you're going to be able to get all of the Donald Trump rallies, which is what I really appreciate. All you have to do to subscribe, go to NewsmaxPlus.com. It's really that simple. And by the way, it is free to start. That's right. You get a free trial subscription, NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, remember, what was it, 2021 Sports Illustrated? They put that dude in the woman's bathing suit on the front cover for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And the staff is surprised that people are going to do, really? The staff is really surprised by that. Go figure. All right, I want to go back here, and I want to finish out. This is Congresswoman Lee talking about this white guy who tried to stop her from getting on board an elevator at the U.S. Capitol.
Racism, institutional racism, is in the DNA of this country. When you look at what has taken place, look at our Native Americans, the genocide of Native Americans. When you look at what has taken place as it relates to African Americans, the 250 years plus of enslaving African Americans, and then you look at the disparities now in our community in terms of health care, unemployment, the wealth gap, housing. You can't tell me that systemic racism does not exist. It's not just a little kink. Secondly, you have personal racism, which is hard to address, but I'll give you one little story that shows you why we need to understand that. I don't think she really understands racism. I was walking from the House building on Capitol Hill to the Capitol, and a man, a white guy, stopped me and told me I could not get into the members' elevator. And, you know, we have pens, and I was going to vote. And he blocked me from getting into the elevator and told me I was not a member of Congress, and it was for members only. I said, sir, I'm a member of Congress. And I showed him my pen, and he said, whose pen did you steal? Now, this is an example of what personal racism is and how people of color constantly have to deal with this each and every day. But systemic racism is in the policies of this country. And just look at what they're trying to do in terms of eliminating diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're trying to not allow for an equal and level playing field. And so it's a very dangerous position that she has. She's clueless.
And she was talking about Nikki Haley saying that there's no race issue in America. My question is, are you buying what Barbara Lee is selling? Do you believe that a white guy actually went up to her in the Capitol building and prevented her from boarding a members-only elevator. By the way, there are video cameras everywhere, and especially in that area. I know exactly where these elevators are located, and you've got video surveillance. So do you believe what Barbara Lee is telling you? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up on the Newsmax TV show today, we're going to be talking to Mike Barry over at First Liberty Institute. You're not going to believe this, folks. The White House getting ready for the big Easter egg roll. That's a huge tradition at the White House. And the White House is inviting the children of National Guard members to submit designs for this year's Easter egg. And the winning designs will be displayed there at the White House. It's a very nice thing to do. It's a great honor. They've been doing this kind of a thing for years there at the White House. So the rules and regulations were sent out, and it turns out the White House is now banning children from using any sort of reference to Jesus or religion on the Easter eggs. No, I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, we've got a copy of the actual rules and regulations. If you want to enter the contest, your Easter egg cannot have any sort of Christian or religious imagery, and you're not allowed to mention the name of Jesus Christ on an Easter egg. Again, folks, not making this up. Now, it just seems to me at this point, if you are going to ban the children from decorating Easter eggs with the reason for the season, as the case were, that you do not have an Easter egg celebration. What you have is, I don't know, a celebration of laying hens. So you're celebrating the egg at that point because you're taking the religion right out of it. So anyway, there you go. Mike Barry weighing in on this from First Liberty Institute. He'll be with us on the Newsmax 2 show a little bit later on today. Also, Congressman Bob Good from the House Freedom Caucus. Folks, here's what I need you to do in the break. If you can help us out here, go and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's coming out March 19th. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I'm going to be talking more about this as we get closer to launch date. You are going to love this book, and this is the kind of book that you want to give to a liberal so that they can become a conservative. I'm telling you, there will be a conversion experience. It's kind of like a political Bible, if you will. Twilight's Last Gleaming. Get a copy right now at Amazon. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. By the way, watching this news out of Washington, D.C. area, Loudoun County, the parkway there, a commuter plane made an emergency landing, crash landing on the road. And it looks like no serious injuries. Everybody was able to get out of the plane. Plane's banged up. It's not going to be worth anything these days. But again, they're having a pretty serious snowstorm in that area. And this was a Southern Airways plane. It was a commuter plane, Southern Airways Express, flight 246. Looks like a Cessna. No word on how many people were on board, but apparently nobody got hurt. So there you go. That is great news. All right. This is Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, we welcome all of our viewers this hour of the program who are watching us on Newsmax 2. And we welcome all of you fine folks as well. Some big political news. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina is going to be endorsing President Trump today And Nikki Haley, when confronted with that news, looked like she had seen a ghost. So not going well for Nikki Haley right now, and we're going to keep you updated on those developments as well. Also, this story out of Mississippi. The Newton County Elementary School under fire. Turns out there was a kindergarten teacher at the school, and this kindergarten teacher, every day before the children would go to the lunchroom, she would lead them all in a lovely prayer. And the prayer went something like this: God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Oh, that rhymes. I just noticed that. Amen. Well, amen. Good for you, kindergarten teacher. We had a guy who was a school teacher back in the day. I don't want to give his name, but he would lead us in a prayer there at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. I got the job done. But anyway, a parent at this school apparently learned about the prayer, got very upset, and demanded the school stop the five-year-olds from offering thanks to God. And that's when the Freedom From Religion Foundation got involved. Oh, that's the group of atheists out of Wisconsin. They're all lactose intolerant. That's got to be a tough thing to be if you live in cheese country. No wonder they're atheist. So anyway, they mailed a letter to the school district demanding that the teacher cease and desist leading the children in prayer. They say it's against the law for teachers to pray with the children, and they accuse the teacher of abusing her position and coercing the urchins to pray to God. The school district agreed and said in the name of inclusivity, they would no longer allow the teachers to lead prayers. Now, not only is this a religious liberty issue in my estimation, but there's also a very practical issue at stake here. Because let's get real, we've all had lunch in the school cafe gymnatorium before, and let's be honest, based on what they're serving these days, those kids need all the prayers they can get. I'm just saying. So there you go, that news out of Newton County, Mississippi. Also from Tennessee, one of the state's largest newspapers, the Tennessean, owned by Gannett, they've sparked an ugly controversy. Turns out you can order a specialty license plate here in Tennessee, and you can also order one that is styled after the historic Gadsden flag. You know, the coiled snake, don't tread on me. So anyway, the Tennessean newspaper in Nashville is very upset. They say the flag has been seen by some as racist, and it's tied to the Confederacy and slavery. A columnist for the Tennessean wrote that the Gadsden flag was carried by protesters on January 6th and in Charlottesville, Virginia. Well, okay, but does that make the flag racist, ladies and gentlemen? Does that make the flag extreme? You know what they're really upset about here? It turns out they ranked these specialty license plates, and you can get a lot of them. Well, it turns out that the Gadsden flag is the number one specialty license plate in Tennessee. It actually beat out a Dolly Parton license plate. Dylan, apparently, no, I have not seen the Dolly Parton license plate, but apparently there are two giant, bumpers. I was going to say bumpers. So people are very upset about all of this, and they say, well, this is not right. Because the racists are using the Gadsden flag, it cannot be used anymore. It should be outlawed. Well, that makes absolutely no sense, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you've got the KKK out there, right? And they wear white bed sheets with the pointy hats. Are you telling me that right now we have to start outlawing bed linens across America because the Klan wears a bed sheet? No, of course not. Give me a break. And by the way, if you are that triggered by the Gadsden flag specialty license plate, I just want to offer some advice here. Don't buy one. Go buy something else. It's a free country. And you know why it's a free country? It's a free country because some of those brave men and women during Revolutionary War times actually marched the Gadsden flag into battle and won our freedom. So there you go. Shame on you, Tennessean newspaper. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in today. 901-260-5926. Let's start our conversation with Patty in North Carolina, WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Patty, what's on your mind?
Todd, how you feeling?
Patty, I'm doing a whole lot better. Thank God for legal narcotics.
You didn't have to go down the border and get anything, right?
I can't confirm or deny that. And by border, are you talking about Mississippi or Arkansas?
I'm talking about the border. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I want to talk about the Tim Scott. I am so happy he's endorsing Trump.
Yeah, and by the way, you can watch the rally tonight on Newsmax Plus. It's going to be a great show, and Tim Scott's going to be there.
So what, Nikki Haley must be like, wow, she must be like in shock.
Well, Patty, it's funny you should mention that. As a matter of fact, I believe Paul Shanklin, our public affairs director here on the Todd Stearns radio program, actually secured some exclusive audio. Let's take a listen to that.
Nikki Haley is uniquely qualified to run for president.
I'm a woman.
And Nikki knows how to lead.
I'm a strong woman.
On the economy.
I'm a woman.
On foreign policy.
A woman.
On transgender health care.
I'm still a woman.
Nikki Haley deserves your support.
Donald Trump isn't a woman.
Well, Patty, there you go. I mean, she's a woman.
But there's the proof. You cannot get any better proof than that.
No, you can't.
I mean, really. He is so great, that guy. Whatever he does, he is fun. Where did he come from? He is wonderful.
Well, Paul used to be Rush Limbaugh's chief parody writer back on the Rush Limbaugh show. And Paul happens to live in the Memphis area and is a big fan of the show and called me up one day and said, hey, we'd love to send some stuff your way. And we're like, all right, come on board. So he wears many different hats here on the program.
He is so sharp at what he does. He makes me, I laugh. He makes me laugh. He is the greatest. He comes up with the best. I love the one with the Obama. I heard that yesterday with Obama.
Oh, yes. We may actually play that going to break here. It's great stuff. Patty, we've got go ahead. Finish your thought.
I just want to say one thing. I'm just saying, so you think all these votes are going to go to Trump now?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think by the time, if it's not over after New Hampshire, it's over after South Carolina. And DeSantis, okay. I think for both Haley and DeSantis.
I think DeSantis should drop out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Todd, thank you so much.
Patty, God bless. All right, great hearing from you. All right, we do need to take a quick break. When we come back, your phone calls as well. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926.
Now, the Racist Report with former President Barack Obama.
My fellow Americans, today the following things are now officially racist. Grapes, crew socks, tinsel, and any state law that requires a voter ID.
Be sure you're not ever offensive in word, thought, or deed. Stay on top of what is racist with The Racist Report.
By the way, folks, got to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. Man, they're doing a great job. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Be sure to check them out, and they have some wonderful, wonderful opportunities, especially for you folks who might be military veterans, if first responders. Be sure to use that promo code Todd. Again, that's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Let's get right to the phone lines today. Open Line Friday. Millie in Florida is going to hang out with us for a little while, watching us on Newsmax 2. Hi, Millie. What's on your mind today?
Hello. I'm fine. I was thinking about Sarah Palin being Trump's VP pick, and I was wondering what you thought of that.
Oh, Sarah Palin. Well, look, I think she's been very popular in the conservative movement without Sarah Palin on the ticket, John McCain would have lost in one of the probably the worst landslide losses in all of American history. So I think she did a terrific job back in the day. I'm not sure about now, though, Millie, because she's been sort of out of the movement. What is it about Sarah Palin that would compel you to vote for her as VP?
I thought she was very popular back then, and I have seen her on a couple of the shows, not lately, but within the last year. And I still like her. I like her opinion, and she seems to be top-notch.
Well, she is top-notch. I've known Sarah for a very long time and knew her back when she was governor of Alaska, and I think she'd do a fine job, you know, if she were summoned by President Trump. I do think that he is probably going to pick a female running mate, someone like an Elise Stefanik. A lot of people have been talking about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and I think she'd do a great job, but I think Sarah is right now very content being the governor of Arkansas. She's in her first term of office there, and I'm not too sure she'd be willing to give that up with just about a year and a half into the job. But Millie, appreciate that call, and thank you for watching us. Let's go to John in Texas watching us on Newsmax 2 today. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I called in the other day. You probably remember me. I'm a low-income disabled person. And I wanted to ask, if Trump is reelected, and I hope so, will he make the Dems pay for all of this court stuff that they've been doing? They need to pay for all this. Who's paying for it? All these court things that they're dragging Trump and everybody else, the J6 people and all that. Who's paying for it?
Well, the American taxpayers are footing the bill for that, John, and I appreciate that call. Look, the issue here is focus. We've got to focus, ladies and gentlemen. One of the big problems we're dealing with right now is a Speaker of the House who is not focused, a Speaker of the House who is not doing what he said he was going to do when he got elected to the position. And we've got to focus on the big issues of the day. Right now, Speaker Johnson, by the way, and what he just did by pushing through this continuing resolution is he completely removed the border debate from the election. We are not going to be able to campaign on that issue as Republicans now because Speaker Johnson decided to strike a deal with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden. This is the Johnson-Schumer continuing resolution. And unfortunately, not a single thing in that resolution, ladies and gentlemen, not a single thing will do anything to secure the border. That's a problem. All right, let's go to Sam in Pennsylvania. Sam, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Todd. I'm coming from the theory of the Sherlock Holmes that once you have eliminated the impossible, whatever, however improbable, may still is the truth. So we've all been wondering what it is that Biden has been up to, and we never talk about our gasoline, which is some of the most valuable stuff on the planet. Could it possibly be that Biden has actually sold all our gasoline to China?
Well, that is true, and I believe, going back, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this was back in 2022 when the president was caught selling oil from the strategic oil reserve to not just China, but there were other countries as well. More than my understanding is more than 5 million barrels. Look, this is part of our emergency supply. We can't be selling this to anybody. That's for us, for Americans.
That's right. So what I'm seeing is that the more he can destabilize America, anything that you can do to destabilize us, we have no military, we have all the migrants coming. You know, if at any time China were to tell all these fellas, fight, what could we possibly do? Our police are down, our military's down, our fuel is down, our bullets are down, and they even welded open the borders. So,
look, Sam,
I know as improbable as it sounds, could it possibly be?
Sam, look, Sherlock Holmes, I was a huge fan of those novels growing up. And I think you're onto something here. You have to pay attention that to everything. There are so many different dumpster fires burning in the country right now. But the reality is, Sam, and you know this, that the country is being weakened. When you look at what's happening with the borders were weakened. Now you've got millions of people coming into the country. Many of the local communities, their infrastructures, their systems are being weakened. When you look at the United States military, we have military volunteers at an all-time low. The military is focused on the social justice movement. They are not doing anything to increase the numbers. Our military has even been weakened. And Sam, we've had a number of military veterans, lawmakers on Capitol Hill telling us that military preparedness is a clear and present danger right now to the country. So I think you're absolutely right, and you're on to something. You take away those emergency oil reserves, we got big problems in this country. Sam, I appreciate you calling in. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Head over to Amazon, ladies and gentlemen, and get yourself a pre-ordered copy of my new book coming out in March. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I'm excited for this book. You're gonna love it. And I'm telling you, let a liberal read this book. Force a liberal to read the book, and they will be converting over to the right way of thinking. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. And I am very excited about our next guest. I have been waiting all week to talk to this guy. One of the few people in politics who actually has a healthy dose of common sense. So his name is Oklahoma State Representative Justin Humphrey. And he introduced some legislation that would ban furries. Now, if you have seen the news lately, you have seen in the fetish world, people who dress up in furry costumes. And these are not like mascots at your college or your university. These are really weird things that people actually think they're animals. And so anyway, before this becomes a problem in Oklahoma, our next guest says, you know what, we got to do something about this. Representative Humphrey, it is an honor to have you on the program today.
Hey, I'm honored. Absolutely. Pretty excited. I got a lot of hate mail going on with the furry community. They seem to think that I am a tyrant of some sort, but I think that it's time that we speak out and stop the nonsense.
Well, let's talk about what your legislation would do and who it applies to.
Well, what I was looking at, and so this thing, I'd heard about this for about 2 years. The first time I heard about a furry, I thought it was a joke. I laughed and no way. And then I kept getting reports of teachers putting litter boxes in their room. And what began to happen, I began to get a lot of reports of kids that spoke out against this or would want to move and not, you know, they're saying, hey, this has disrupted me and I can't focus on my studies and I want to move from here. Like one kid, they got on to the kid for even saying that they wanted to move and said they were being rude to the person that thought they were a cat. And the kid come back in and said, hey, you got to move me because I'm allergic to cats. And they were going to try to suspend that kid. I thought that was genius, but they were going to try to suspend that kid. And then a friend of mine, a really close family friend, his grandson was at a school, and they were one of the school students was crawling on their hands and knees, collar on them, being led by their boyfriend with a leash on them. Now, this is going down the hall, and my friend's grandson and another friend of his started barking at them, pretending like they were dogs and barking at them, and they were going to expel them, discipline the ones that were playing around and barking. And at that point in time, I said, hey, you know, this is getting out of hand, and I need to file a bill to say that, you know, if you want to be a furry, do it on your own time, Do it on your own dime. Do it at your house. Don't do it on the state's time and on the state's dime. Don't do it at school. It's disrupting school. And so I wrote this bill, and where I'm getting a lot of pushback on it, I said, call the kids' parents, call these students' parents, and if they won't pick them up, call the dog pound or call the animal control. And I think that's what really fired up a bunch of people.
But I don't understand why people would be upset. I mean, if in fact they identify as animals, Mr. Representative, that's what you would do, is that you would call the animal control people and they would take these individuals away. And I guess hopefully they would check them for, you know, ticks or fleas or, you know, rabies.
Sure, sure. I started to put that we would vaccinate and neuter, but I thought that might be a bridge too far. Oh, so I backed said animal control. But here's the deal. You're making my point was, if you want to act like an animal, are we really going to treat you like an animal, you know? And so, again, when you just bring a little common sense to it, you can see real quick that they back up when you actually even mention that, oh, okay, we're going to treat you like an animal. How dare you? How dare you attack kids? How dare you bully kids? And, oh, you ought to read some of the stuff that threatening and call me everything. And I mean, really horrific statements made towards me. And again, many people are saying this is not a problem. I was at a superintendent's meeting the other day. Most of them had not had it happen in school, but they were all aware that it was happening in other places. And so, again, we have had this. I have received so many emails thanking me and giving me examples of how this has happened to either their grandkid or their kids, and how they've had to remove their kids from school and put them in private because of this practice and things like that. And so, you know, a lot of people want to deny that it's going on. A lot of people don't want to believe that it's going on. And I can tell you, just by filing this bill and the attention that it's gotten, not just here, but actually worldwide, we've actually, seen even out of this nation, but especially here in the nation, we have brought a whole new attention to the problems of furries. And again, I can disagree with your lifestyle. We all have disagreements on things. That's fine. But here's what I tell people, you know, in the privacy of your own home, in the privacy of your own bedroom, what you do is your business. But when you bring it out on the public street, when you bring it out into the school, then you've made it my business and you've made it all the rest of the public. So if you don't want your furry business publicized, keep your furry business in your own bedroom and in your own home.
I agree. And I think this is a brilliant thing. And again, you've got some kid who identifies as a dog, and you don't want that kid going around and sniffing your child's butt in the middle of the classroom like dogs normally do.
Oh, I already like you. I already like you. Yeah, I agree 100%. Yes.
It's just common sense.
Well, and again, here's what I've laughed. So many people get so indignified over you would really call the dog pound. I'm like, look here. We're making a point, and if we want to, this bill's going to be difficult. I am going to try to get this bill through, but it's going to be difficult. But, you know, if we need to change that language to say to get this person some mental health, and people are like, well, they're not mental health just because they're trying to pretend. No, look it up. It's actually a mental health issue. You can look that up, and so it is. And, again, if we want to change that language to not call the pound and get some mental health evaluation, we can change that. But at the end of the day, I think most average Americans would all agree that we have seen our country, the moral decline, just the ignorance of the woke community has reached a level to where we've got to quit worrying about offending people. We've got to quit worrying about being attacked. Most legislators are not going to endure the attacks that you have to take to do this. I don't mind it. But again, that's we're going to have to get to that level where, hey, you're offensive to me, and I'm going to stand my ground and say this is insane and we're not going to allow it.
No. I look, in all seriousness here, This is an important issue, and it goes back to really the unraveling of our society and these sex and gender norms. And the response from the other side here, Mr. Representative, is very telling, because if this was not a big deal, if this was really not happening in classes, you wouldn't hear any arguments from the other side.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. If this was nothing, then you wouldn't hear one bit of rebuttal. But instead, look at what has happened. I mean, this has went nationwide. It's huge. You're hearing how big of an idiot I am. My deal is that may be true, but this idiot is telling the truth and it's hit right on. And again, this is a massive problem. And like you said, it's unraveling our society. We're at a point where we're going to have to decide who we are, and we're going to have to make a stand and, stand up for what we believe. And these people are trying to unravel society, whether it's race baiting, whether it's transgender, sex, whatever it is, they're trying to unravel it. And we've got to make a stand. I want to be respectful to others, but at the same time, they're not respectful to me. So if you run something like this, you got to have pretty thick skin, and you got to have a good sense of humor, and you got to be able to defend yourself. And fortunately, I got all three. So I'm having a blast with this bill. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. And I will tell you this, regardless whether I get the bill passed or not, we have shined the light on the furries, and they are growling, scratching, and they're pretty mad. So,
But let me just warn you, if you see one of them raise up their hind leg, you might want to take a few steps back.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what I told somebody the other day, the best thing they can do is go out and talk about it, because we had a guy from Ireland, I think, on one news station. Mm-hmm. How in the world they got Ireland on there? Some guy in a dog suit in Ireland talking about how I didn't understand the furry community and that they really didn't think they were dogs or animals, that they were only pretending. And I'm like, you're a grown man in a suit on the news. You know what I'm saying? And you don't see a problem with that. Just keep talking, because you're just making my point for me. You know what I mean?
That's
the longer they talk, I hope they do consume the news, and I hope they do, stand up and talk, because the more they talk, the less I have to, because I'm just sitting back going, see there you go. That's what I'm talking about right there.
All right.
And so I think people are seeing that.
Well, we have to leave it there. Representative Humphrey, you're a good man, and we appreciate you taking a stand for, you know what's right, you know what's wrong, and we're going to be following this legislation. Good luck to you.
Hey, I appreciate y'all. Thank you for having me on.
All right, you too. I love it. State Representative Justin Humphrey, he just became my favorite politician in America. By the way, President Trump, if you're watching, there's your VP right there. Vice President Humphrey. My goodness. All right. That segment brought to you by Milkbone. By the way, what happened? No, I'm just kidding. But what happens? You're a teacher in the classroom, and all of a sudden, the kid who identifies as a kitty cat has a hairball. I mean, what is the protocol for something like that? Jeez, Lou. All right. We got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Wow. Well, that may have been my favorite interview of all time, State Representative Justin Humphrey. If you want to go back and listen, we'll have that up on the podcast later today. Just go to toddstearns.com and you'll be able to check it out there. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's say hello to Robert in California watching us on Newsmax 2 today. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind? Okay, let's put Robert on hold. Folks, just a reminder, if you're on hold, you got to turn down your TV, turn down your radio, or else you're going to get a lot of feedback. So let's go to Ron in North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Ron, what's up?
Hello, Todd.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to make this short. The first, I want to give you to my as far as I'm concerned, our two biggest national security threats are Biden, and number two is the border issue.
Yeah, and, no complaints on either one of those. I think you're spot on.
And one of the other issues is I think they should cut that Congress, I'm talking about the House now, they should pass all the bills they need and adjourn and say, when the border is secured and these bills are passed, we will re-adjourn.
I love it.
I'm just sure
play hardball. Look, we just need somebody to play hardball, Ron. That's all, and I appreciate the call. We just need somebody like a Speaker Johnson to say, you know, I get it. We may not win the day, but at least we fought a good fight. That's all we're asking for here, folks. I mean, come on. Appreciate that call, Ron, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. You know, Nikki Haley, it's quite obviously that South Carolina is not going to vote for her. 30 points behind. So that should tell us all there's a reason for that. And I don't think we need Mary quite contrary in the White House. The other thing is the left or the right, Republicans or Democrats, America had a great economic time after the Second World War. And look at us now. So be it Republican, Democrat, or whatever, politicians, big business has sold America down the road. Big business and corporate America has gone out of the country so they can make more profits.
No doubt about that.
The government hasn't done anything about that. Why should I trust anything I really hear from Democrats or Republicans? And when it comes to President Trump, God knows the heart of all men. And I do believe out of anything that I believe President Trump has a heart for America.
Oh, no doubt about that, Tom. I do not doubt that at all. And look, I think you're right about Haley. The problem with Haley is that she is, it seems to me that her only qualification is that she is a woman. I mean, that's what she keeps reminding us about over and over and over again out on the campaign trail. And then at the same time, anybody who dares bring that up, well, all of a sudden she gets her back up and she was like, oh, you're disrespecting me. So you can't have it both ways, Nikki Haley. Tom, I appreciate that call and thank you for listening today. Let's go back to California. Robert wants to weigh in on Border Patrol agents. All right, Robert, what you got for us?
Oh, I just want to let you guys know what's going on. We our vacation home, weekend home in Needles, California. So we go to Fontana, California for our doctors. But on the way there, we're traveling the 40 freeway a couple of days this week. We saw Border Patrol vehicles designated areas on the 40 freeway. They're white with green stripes.
Okay.
And it appeared that it was like 20 miles east of Barstow, California, on the 40. And it appeared that they were chasing cars that they thought there was illegals in or something illegal in there, because they come up behind us, come right up to the back of our car. It looked like they were checking us out, but then they backed off and then went back and parked on the freeway. So I just want to let you all know what's going on the 40 freeway.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Robert, and it's all hands on deck, which is why I love this show, is that you guys become citizen journalists, and appreciate you letting us know what's happening out there in the Barstow area. You be safe, and give us a call back one of these days. And folks, also, those of you listening to us, you might be on hold, be sure to download our free podcast. You'll be able to listen to all 3 hours of the radio show. You can do that. It is free of charge. We don't charge a penny for that. And you can go to toddstearns.com, download our podcast, and also sign up for our free newsletter. It comes out every day, and we provide you with exclusive journalism and reporting from a conservative point of view, a conservative worldview. We have a great team of writers, and we would love for you to check out those great resources. Folks, it's been a great day, a great week here on the program. I want to thank you for being a part of our broadcast week. Thank our great team. We have Grace and Dylan, Lydia, and folks, we are just going to do it all over again starting on Monday. In the meantime, you get out there, America, and have a great Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.